In today's episode, spiritual teacher and author Giulio Consiglio helps us to understand the healing frequency. Join us as Giulio explains how presence can be used as an ascension ladder, insights as to what is currently happening on the planet at this time, how to unlock your psychic gifts, and what it really means to wake up. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Inspire Health Podcast. And today's guest, we have Giulio Consiglio. And Giulio is a spiritual teacher and author who focuses on the transformative power of inner stillness, the mind-body-spirit connection, and psychic abilities development. He is the author of Challenge Your Thoughts, The Healing Frequency, and the newly released Open Your Third Eye. His message is that there is life beyond fear and incessant thinking, and it is found in the dimension of inner stillness. Giulio currently offers his consciousness-based teachings to individuals and groups. Giulio, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Dr. Loken, and thank you for having me, Tia. It's a pleasure to be here.
You know, I want to read something that one of the posts that you had put where we were thinking, we absolutely need to connect with Giulio and have him as a part of this series. So I think this was one you did back in September, but it says, "Nothing is as it appears. The material world is an expression of spirit, and you are an extension, the very same essence as God's source energy. In order to perceive your spiritual self and the quantum field, you're going to have to go beyond the five senses. You're going to have to make the shift to energy, frequency, and vibration." We read that and we thought, well, we got to have him on the show now because we got to round out this concept and talk about that in a little bit more detail. So we're super excited to have you here, and we've loved a lot of the work that you've put out over the last while. So we're excited to have this conversation today.
I'm excited as well. Thanks again for having me.
Giulio, can you start off, just give us a little overview of your journey that brought you to where you are now with this focus in your life on spirituality and consciousness?
Sure. This was nowhere near my radar. My journey to awakening to this state of consciousness began, I'm going to say, around the age of 19, where I began to experience some really heavy negative energy. And it was the first day of walking into dental hygiene clinic where I was bombarded by a lot of negative energy. And I didn't quite understand it. And it didn't quite make sense to me. I grew up working in my dad's hardware store since the age of 8. I've been dealing with people my whole life. I'd never experienced anything like that. Looking back, my sensitivity began to arise. So despite those feelings, I pushed ahead and finished my degree. Right around the time I was finishing my degree in dental hygiene, I found out my older brother, Steve, had cancer. He was diagnosed with cancer. So that really shook me to my core. I always knew him to be a really, really strong guy. We trained for years in the martial arts. So he fought that for about a year and passed away. After my brother's death, I was haunted and left with a lot of questions why things happen the way they do. Time went on, and I eventually got married to my high school sweetheart, only to see that crumble 15 months later. That, again, left me with a lot of questions. Why do things happen the way they do? About a year, going into the new year now, 2004, I was given then a cancer diagnosis. Now, you would think that would be enough to sort of wake me up, to sort of create this shift in me. The universe, source, God, whatever you want to call it, was still not done with me. The following year, in the fall of 2005, I had an experience with a night terror. And that experience with a night terror brought me to my lowest low. And the following morning, I called out, I cried out to source. And I essentially said, show me another way or take me out because I've had enough. And about 2 weeks later, my answer came in the form of spontaneous awakening in my car on a side street in between patients. So on this fall day, I had a few patients lined up. Actually, let me backtrack. I had been staring at a book in chapters for quite a while, Change Your Brain, Change Your Life by Dr. Daniel Amen, of all names. And I stared at it for about a week or so. Finally, I purchased it. And I don't think I went past page 60 or 65. There was a line in that book that essentially said, when you allow negative thoughts to go unchallenged. Well, that struck me. I began to write down the automatic negative thoughts that I were experiencing, that I was experiencing. And I can feel, as I looked at those thoughts, an awareness began rising within me, but I hadn't fully become aware of it yet. So I went to work this one day, and I had a patient cancel, and I did what I normally would do. I jumped in my Volvo, drove a few blocks, and just tried to relax and decompress. When you work in dentistry, you're dealing with a lot of fear. And at that point, I didn't fully understand how to manage it because you're experiencing with a lot of negative, fearful energies. So I jumped in the car, drove a few blocks, parked, and I had the book actually on the passenger side. And I began to just reflect that phrase. And in that instant that I began to reflect on that phrase, a voice came through my chest, not male or female, and said, challenge your thoughts. And in that instant, the third eye began to crack open and vibrate. I'm going to use the word violently. It wasn't painful, but it was tremendous. I clearly remember turning my head and looking at a building and experiencing complete and total clarity. That was the stillness. Believe it or not, I still went back to finish a patient. I had a patient left. So I went back to the office, and now I have this activated force shutting down this negativity that I'd been experiencing since 19. I finished the patient. I get in the car, and now it's a massive, massive thunderstorm. And I'm driving now to Grimsby. I get home, and the entire time I'm driving, again, every time an automatic negative thought attempted to come into my consciousness, this now activated force, which was, I want to say, beyond me, doing it for me, was shutting it down instantly. And the vibrations were getting stronger and stronger. I got home, I jumped on the couch, and in a state of surrender, I simply said, just let me die. And the next thing I knew, I had popped out. I don't know how long I was gone, not sure where I went. When I came back, I fully realized what had happened. And shortly after that, I began to experience automatic writing. By the time Christmas came, so this happened in November, by the time Christmas came, I'd finished writing Challenge Your Thoughts, and I'd already held my first speaking engagement. So that, in a nutshell, describes that process that I went through. And moving forward from that, I began to experience mystical experiences, deeper insights, I'm going to say over a 33-day period up until December 10th. So since that time, what I've been doing is just living through the authentic or highest self. We can describe it as inner stillness, but it's who we are before we come into form.
So you mentioned fear. You mentioned, even listening to your other interviews as well, you mentioned that you've been working with anxiety or have had excuse me, intense anxiety since you were 19, correct?
Correct.
And you're saying this force basically came in. A strong force came in and kind of took that away or shut that down within you. Is that kind of accurate?
That's fairly accurate. So looking back, I should mention this, but I can distinctly remember being a child, 7, 8, 9 years old, sitting at my dad's front step of our hardware store and just being silent, not being aware of it. Even as a teenager, I want to say I experienced more emotion than anything else. So what this activated force, this third eye did, was show me the truth. And the truth is inner stillness. And anything beyond that, in terms of automatic negative thinking, which comes as the past and the future, is illusory. So the moment you realize what is real, this is what we're trying to get at, and what is not, then you're no longer feeding it with reaction. So living moment by moment, You're now operating through the present moment. You're so centered. And it's, in essence, an ascension ladder is what I describe it as. Being an ascension ladder, you still experience and you still can experience past and future. So that third dimensional reality, but it comes, and the moment it actually arises, it dies within you in the fire of your consciousness. So fear, for example, or those feelings of anxiety that I used to experience, they served a great purpose, because without that pain, that suffering, it would not have created that white hot desire for me to be able to transmute it or alchemize it. So it's actually the power of our awareness by looking at things and not running from them or reacting from them, but looking at them, that we begin to dissolve these negative energies. Because the ego wants to convince us that our problems are stemming from outside. It projects. That's what it does by nature, and it is what it is. But when you realize it's all in your mind, it's all within our consciousness, that's when you can begin to make massive shifts in your life.
You know, we just did a group exercise with our Patreon group a little while ago, and this was based off of some of the stuff that we had talked with RJ Spina about. And it was an exercise that helped us really arrive more at the truth and what's really going on. And it was a journaling exercise where we would essentially question everything that we're doing. So anytime you're doing almost anything, you would then sit down and write out what it is that you're doing. And then you would actually ask, why am I doing that? And the first answers that kind of pop up are usually just the justifications for why you're doing it. And but you stay with it and you stay with the process and you just keep asking, okay, well, why then? Why am I still doing that? Okay, well, if that's the case, then why am I doing it? And you kind of keep going down, and it takes you deeper and deeper, deeper, until you essentially just get to the heart of what's really going on. And to do the exercise really requires, you have to really be willing to be honest and I think courageous enough to take a full look at what's actually there. And I know even just doing that within a few days, it's like there's been some pretty profound awarenesses that have surfaced for people in just doing that. And this is an exercise I know Tay and I have done years back too. And I think that was probably one of the most profound awarenesses for me, was just the real reasons as to why we do so many things. And it was like, as soon as that awareness comes to mind, then it's like you've got now a real choice on whether or not you choose to keep doing it or not. Because until it's surfaced to be in your conscious awareness, it's sitting back here, just kind of happening on autopilot.
I would have to agree with that. What it is essentially, it's our programming. So we're conditioned coming into this world. We are conditioned through the ego. And then we learn from our environment. We learn from friends. We learn from our family members. We learn by watching. We're like these energetic sponges. So as we take on all these subtle energies and they layer and layer upon us, that's how we experience these sort of automatic programs. Like, why am I always grasping for this or that? Or why do I keep attracting these certain relationships? It's that ego alignment. And the moment you become aware of the thought patterns, so you're present to those thought patterns, you are now introducing awareness to that. And as you become aware of that thinking mind, you're now creating a space between you and that egoic thinking mind. And it's in that space, that nothingness, the instant you become aware of it, is where you can realize who you truly are and realize that is simply past programming projecting into the future. Essentially, you get into a car, you drive 50 feet forward and 50 feet back. People who do that for 30, 40, 50 years, staying in that past, present, third dimensional, they will end up essentially going nowhere, because essentially we're always now here anyways. So might as well consciously, more empowered, you know, manifest and create the life you desire. And it all begins with that little tiny, tiny quantum little thing, thoughts. That's where it all begins.
The Inspire Health Podcast will be right back.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
conversation that makes you feel good.
I love that. Nowhere, now, here. That's good.
Thank you.
You know, as you were speaking of your own personal experience, I can't help but think that has so much to do, like that's basically very indicative of where we are collectively and what we're going through collectively. One of your quotes that you had put up on your Instagram account is reads as follows: the physical world isn't physical, it's spiritual. And you and God/source are one. And I mean that literally. The way to experience the spiritual nature of the physical, the essence of who you are beyond thought and form, is to become deeply aware of the present moment. It is in the now that we encounter our highest self. Would you be able to tell us a little bit more as far as your take, your insight on what we are experiencing on a collective level right now?
Absolutely. So on a collective level, what we're seeing is, first and foremost, a reflection of individual consciousness. So everything that's going on right now is from that belief that we are separate from source or from God or our highest self. So anything outside of that awareness, which is peace, which is stillness, is in essence chaos and fear-based. So what we're seeing right now, and what I've actually been writing for about 15 years now, is the acceleration of consciousness that's coming. And humanity, for the most part, was stuck. So especially in our Western world, there's that materialism, there's that always, you know, keeping up with the Joneses or wanting more. And that's a conditioned pattern. And I'm not saying there's anything bad or good about it. It just simply is. It's just an insight into it. So going the trajectory we were going was going to keep humanity stuck and keep humanity from awakening, which is why we are here. We're here to evolve. So it took this spiritual crisis, and that's what I'll describe it as, a spiritual crisis, to shake up people's lives. In essence, you know, take away things, you know, literally when we were forced to go into our homes, that was an opportunity to go within. So that was just a time to go within and reflect and begin to ask questions. One thing I find incredibly empowering is the moment we begin to ask questions. It was in the months leading up to my awakening, I began to ask those really hard questions. And I will testify that every single one was answered the moment I surrendered. So I wanted to know the hidden mechanics to life. I needed to understand why things happen the way they do. And the reason this is happening is to have us go within and decide, do you want to make that shift from third dimensional reality, which is the thinking mind, and quantum leap into that dimension of stillness, that dimension of understanding, wisdom, clarity, abilities, like psychic abilities that we didn't even understand, you know, or even fully realize we have. Once you enter and make that shift into that quantum field, there are no limits to consciousness. And you realize that enlightenment ultimately is just the beginning. Because even if I look back now, in the past 5 years, for example, the psychic abilities and the events that I've experienced regarding that whole area, even my experiences with the paranormal, have only accelerated and sort of enhanced my intuition. So it's being in that space of surrender where everything and anything becomes possible.
I love that, Julio. One thing I think would be really helpful for people is, because a lot of times when we're talking about being in the present moment or living in the now, this sort of concept, I think it'd be really helpful to give sort of an idea for people of what does that even look like practically? Because a lot of people, I would say, are on hamster wheels where it's nonstop all the time, or even as simple as if you are parents with young kids where you just feel like you're constantly, there's lots of stuff always going on, you know, it's busy. Maybe you're not able to pull back and spend hours a day meditating or something along those lines. For I would say for the majority of the people, what practically does it mean to be living in the present moment? Does it mean, you know, you don't plan anything in the future? Does it mean you're just being very spontaneous? I think for a lot of people, it's hard to grasp what that actually looks like once it's integrated.
The first thing I'll say is it's a moment by moment mindfulness or meditation. So everything and anything can be made a meditation. So if you're washing dishes, you can be centered, be aware of that present moment, and understand, I'm only washing dishes. This is the only thing that's in front of me right now. If you're with your children and you're playing with them, you can be present and aware that that is all you're doing in that moment. So it's that awareness. What you're doing is bringing beingness to doingness. In terms of, you know, manifesting or trying to create a future, that can be done consciously. So even as you set intentions, even as you're taking action to create your life consciously, it's all done always with that awareness of that present moment. And the more one anchors oneself in that present moment, the higher the vibrational frequency that will begin to unfold inside oneself. So the thoughts, the mind, the thinking mind begins to slow down, and it can get to a point where all that is left is stillness. Now, again, like I mentioned earlier, you can still experience the occasional thought, past, future, but it quickly dissolves in one's awareness. So you're not reacting. It's reaction that energizes thought, which then becomes an emotion, which in turn feeds the ego. So that is what keeps the cycle going. The instant one begins to observe the thoughts that are coming, and if one becomes aware, you'll quickly realize there are thoughts from the past. You could actually label them. Is that regret? Is that depression? Is that anxiety? Is that worry? Is that uncertainty? Again, future. So it's literally coming into a space of beingness and inviting that beingness into everything you're doing.
I feel like, as you're describing that, I feel like as long as there's a willingness mm-hmm. and a desire to make a change within our current predicament, whether it's our personal lives or looking around us in the state of the world, as long as we're driven to come to a place of really wanting to make a difference, a change, then it all kind of stems from a willingness. And that's like the first step to be able to pause and figure out where in your life you want to start to examine, re-examine, and create real change.
You know, Julia, one thing that I know, because we are parents with young kids, and we know what it, and we're homeschooling them. So it's like, it can be very busy. And I know one thing that I feel like comes up for us, it doesn't mean there's not stuff to have to do, and you don't just sort of live in this altered kind of state and not deal with life. I mean, you have to be able to take everything and integrate it into your life. But what I feel like has been played out over and over again for us is that when we are being aware of those types of teachings, when we are really being aware of being present, so whether being present with our kids and putting other things away at certain points in time, or when we're doing dishes and being present when we're doing dishes and being aware of that, what seems to happen is, and this has been my personal experience with this, it seems like when you first create a field, if that field is there, then your reality starts to just shift. It's almost like rather than trying to shift the behaviors first and figure out how to make everything work from almost an intellectual standpoint, if you have the willingness to start that process and you start to get glimpses and sensations of what it's like to be more in a place of stillness, even for little glimpses here and there, it's like that field then opens up different possibilities that weren't there before. And when you start to do more and more of that, all of a sudden different things start to show up that assist you in that process even more and more. I know for us, for example, it's like the right people have sort of just showed up that can then assist us to having more space and more time to get stuff done that maybe wasn't there if I wasn't allowing myself or allowing ourselves to go into that place of stillness first, which I feel like opened up a potential for those different possibilities to even manifest.
I love that. What you essentially described is a very nice picture of the law of attraction. So it's that surrendered state, allowing things to express to us and through us. That is what allows. It's those emotional roadblocks that we create that shuts us off, that literally causes that contraction of energy within us and then creates our outer. There is no separation, the outer and inner world. It's all one. And just to touch a little bit more on stillness, when you're still within, as you look out into the world, in essence, there is no perception. You're simply looking at it through no mind. So it's that silent witness that's in you, that's in all of us, looking outward or the eyes of source. So you can still be aware of what is going on in the world and be engaged and be an activist all through beingness if one chooses. It's that alignment with who you truly are and taking action regardless. There are no, I like to say this often, there are no small actions because essentially the universe is within us. We are within the universe. We are more powerful. I can't express this enough. We are more powerful than we can imagine. And every thought is a doorway to an alternate reality, literally.
Yeah, we completely agree with you on that too. And that's been our firsthand experience with it as well. One thing that you had mentioned that I think ties in with the concept of surrender. You had said a quote once where you talked about inner peace is faith, trust, and surrender in action. Can you describe what you mean by surrender in action?
Absolutely. So faith, trust, surrender. So when I mention the word surrender, it's essentially placing that thought within us or even speaking it. My will is God's. So what you're saying is my will is God's. The two are one. And God's will is mine. So it's that unification and it's aligning, being mindful, being aware that you're not trying to create things that aren't for your highest good. So it's that surrendered state. My will is yours. And it's acknowledging the will of source or God. Again, what we place our awareness to is what we give life to. This is how powerful we are. This is how things move in the quantum field. And regarding faith and trust, this is for a lot of people, I think maybe a difficult one, but it's something that needs to be cultivated and actually can be cultivated quite quickly. With regarding faith, if you briefly look back to all the times that things did work out for you or things looked very sketchy or like there wasn't going to be a way and a way was made, when you look back and you realize how life has been orchestrated perfectly to bring into your life the people that are sort of meant to be there, you realize there is a higher intelligence at play here. And it's you. And trusting you is now removing that fear, removing that anxiety of a future that is unknown, because you realize the one who knows, the one who is beyond space time, the one that is all powerful, is there already and has already made a way for you. That's the faith and trust I'm speaking of. It's essentially having the faith of God.
So Julio, when you're speaking of God, because I think what's happening right now is we're having to let go of a lot of teachings, a lot of concepts, a lot of indoctrination, how I'm seeing it now, that we've been fed our whole lives. And be open to actually receiving and perceiving and knowing truth on a much deeper level and one that resonates without a doubt, without a question, internally within each and every one of us. When you speak of God, we're no longer speaking of the being sitting up on a cloud with white hair and long white beard and looking down and passing judgment on us, are we?
Absolutely not. There's no such being. Source becomes what source creates. And when you operate through that quantum field, through that vibrational frequency of inner stillness, you realize everything is 99.999% space. It's all source energy. There is no separation. The only judgment we have is when we judge ourselves. So unfortunately, the God that most people, when you hear the word God, they relate it to the biblical God or the God that judges. But that is a man-made God. And the God that I speak of, or source energy, is a direct experience. So there is no middleman. There's nothing outside of you that can give it to you. I can't give it to you. You are it. There is no separation. So it's a remembering or rejoining to who you are beyond the physical, beyond the thinking mind. It's that no-thingness, that nothingness, that when you reach that point zero, that inner stillness field, the quantum field, that is where direct experience happens. The only thing that is separating the individual from that direct experience are those automatic negative thoughts. And once you realize that is the doorman, it's that which has convinced us that we're separate. Once you realize the truth regarding that, that it was only a catalyst for your awakening, not who you were supposed to identify with until the time you leave this planet, that's when you can begin to break down that wall of separation and experience that flowering of consciousness within you.
Catalyst for our awakening. Julia, did we sign up for this? Did we sign up for this? And did we sign up for all the circumstances within our lives and this current time?
We signed up for this. We are powerful creators. We made agreements coming into this realm. And nothing is happening. I want to say nothing is happening to us. It's all happening for us. So we came into this realm to experience what it's like to have limitation, to experience fear, to experience all that we are not. From one point of view, you could say this is a playground, although it does not seem like that at this moment. But it is serving a purpose, and it is to awaken the God within us, the source within us, the awareness within us, the potentials within us, so that we can break free from the programming, break free from our own personal suffering, and then burn up essentially the ego and go ahead and live the life you were meant to live, empowered by knowing who you are.
The Inspire Health Podcast will be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Julio, that brings up a couple of questions that I'd like to touch on. When we talk about, because this term gets thrown around a lot, particularly now, and sometimes in ways that I feel like ties into like a spiritual superiority for people when they talk about waking up and they talk about some are woken, some are awake and some are asleep. And there's always this, you know.
And some are woke.
Yeah, and some are woke. And I'm wondering, from your perspective, when we talk about the idea of awakening or waking up, what does that actually mean?
Awakening or waking up essentially means waking up from the dreaming mind or the thinking mind. when you awaken from that thinking mind, when you transcend it, when you realize your true self, which is inner stillness, when you look out onto the world, when you look at everyone else, all you see is other enlightened beings, because what you see within is what you see without. The only, I'm going to say, difference is that you're hoping in one essence from a third dimensional point of view that, you know, it would be wonderful for everyone to awaken, but that may not be the case. That may not be that soul's purpose, but awakening or waking up is transcending the thinking mind, realizing who you are, and then creating your life consciously, living consciously, not being at the whims of fear in essence. So that's what that means. But the idea of superiority, that's an illusion. We are all equal. The only difference that there is in this reality is levels of awareness. That is the only difference. And beyond that, all that is truly within us is that vibrational frequency of stillness. Everything else is, I'm going to go a little bit deep here, but everything else is illusory. Everything else is temporary and temporal. So
Julio, when people begin this process of awakening, when they get out and they transcend beyond the thinking mind, they connect to that true self, then inevitably what's going to happen is they are going to then view the reality of what's going on from a very different perspective than people that maybe haven't gone through that process, correct?
Correct. And you could actually see it from a few vantage points. I'll briefly touch upon this. When I would give my lectures sometimes, I would have people imagine giant pepper shakers, so a white one and a black one. And if you're standing in front of it, the black one is on the right and the white one is on the left. Well, if you turn now the white one, if you turn to the left, now the white one is in front of you and the black one is behind it. And if we turn again, now the black one is on your left. What is real? Which is true? Mm-hmm. Ultimate reality is they're not even there. So you're simply, you know, you can still utilize and use perceptions as needed and tune into intuitiveness of what's really happening. But on the grandest, on the highest vision, on the highest, we'll say, use the word perception, although it's limited, is this is all a dream in essence, because what we are actually talking about is this world being a reflection of something even greater, which is that quantum field, that world of spirit.
It's really interesting, Julio. I had a thought or a knowing a few years ago where I turned to Jay and I said, what if this was all a dream? Like, what if none of this that we see around us, that we see before us, that we think of, that we conceive, what if none of it is real? And I tell you, it's actually from that time onward, I personally have been moving and navigating and making decisions in my life much more freely, because things don't stick as heavily as they used to before. There's a sense of freedom, openness, playfulness, exploratory nature that has kicked into gear. I mean, even being here alongside my husband speaking publicly is not something I would have fathomed. But, you know, when you take on that concept of play and, you know, when you speak of this being all illusory, this is not the first time. And since then, actually, since that thought or knowing, I've dived into a lot of content, or a lot of teachings have come up where they've spoken of it in a very similar way, that this is all just a play or an experiment of some sort and is not real. So it's really interesting that you speak of that. I wanted to ask you, so you speak of the thinking mind and automatic negative thoughts. Where do those come from?
I'm going to answer that, but I just want to quickly touch upon what you said, because it was so poignant. What I would add is, it's when we say this is illusory, this experience, it's not to diminish it in any way, but it's actually to empower us to realize we are in the spiritual realm. And that's how you create. So looking outward, those things are not concrete. So I think it was important that I mentioned that, because in no way do I want to diminish the experience, but empower us. So with regards to those automatic negative thoughts, where do they come from? It is in one perspective, they are from our own ego, but they also come from the collective ego. So we are all one. From a spiritual point of view, from inner stillness point of view, all minds are joined. We are all one in God or in Source. So we are telepathic by nature. It's only the awareness or lack thereof that closes that door. So it's no coincidence you think of a friend and the next thing you know, they're sending you a text message or calling you. So a lot of it we pick up, and I've been speaking with a lot of friends, actually. You know, there are certain days they wake up and it's very heavy, and I will remind them, you are tapping into the collective because it is quite heavy right now. So from one point of view, it comes from that individual ego and also from the collective. So it's everything we've picked up growing up, those fears, those worries, those anxieties, that is all from the egoic mind.
Julio, one question I've asked people in the past is, how does one really discern truth from falsehood? Especially now when it seems like there's an abundance of information, and I mean, there's so much stuff and it becomes so confusing for so many people. And then I think they end up in just, it's easy to kind of walk around in just a state of confusion. And in that state of confusion, it's very easy to just surrender your power over to others. How do you, I guess a couple of questions around that is truth relative depending on the person, or is there more of a divine truth? And how do we very much connect to what that truth is so we can see falsehood more clearly and then live our lives more from that place?
That's a wonderful question. The first thing I will say is believe nothing. So that's from the grandest sort of highest awareness, is believe nothing. And what I mean by that is, you're flipping channels and you happen to, you know, catch the news, and for the most part, it's quite negative and programming at that. If you're observing it through that quiet witness, so in that moment, you realize ultimately where the source of that is coming from, you're not going to believe it. And I'll give a quick example. If we were walking on a beach right now and the sky was perfect blue, you know, not a cloud in the sky, blue, and I said, the sky's pink, you probably laugh and you wouldn't believe me, but you would most likely laugh about it because it's funny, it's not true. That's how you want to approach these falsehoods that are being presented to us. So anything that isn't empowering, anything that is fear-based, give it no belief, because that's how powerful we are. So from the highest truth, again, believe nothing. So if you believe nothing, nothing sticks to you. You're now not repeating someone else's consciousness within your own. And again, everything else is relative in a sense. For example, you're standing next to your wife, or she's standing next to you. It's that sort of thing. It depends how you see it. So there is those relative truths, and it's important that we don't get sort of stuck on that. It's how we navigate this world, and there's perfection in it. But from the highest point of view, is one realizes the only truth that there is the inner stillness within oneself.
Is there a place for body sensations? You know, I think something that I know that happens to me around this is I pay close attention to when my body feels constricted, or when it feels tight, or when I feel, you know, discomfort in my stomach or something along those lines, versus when I'm feeling expansive, when I feel inspired, when I feel like those types of things. Is there a place for that in assisting you in discerning when you are connected more to something that would be more in line with your source connection versus when it's more connected with your ego mind?
Absolutely. The body is a tool, and it is sort of that transformer that allows us to experience energy, to allows us to experience fear and intuition and the whole gamut of emotions. The unfortunate thing is we have identified ourselves as our emotions when all they are indicators when we're out of alignment, and also guidance system. They are essentially a guidance system. So the body is an incredible tool for that. So although one, you know, as one evolves and transcends and is beyond the physical body, it is still used as an indicator because the energy vibrates within it. So you will experience intuition, clarity, and it's listening or paying attention to that center space, that gut. That is the source of your being. And I can attest to that, experiencing, I'm gonna describe it as tremendous joy. When I made that conscious contact with my soul, I remember it bouncing up and down, and the tears were so overwhelming. I ended up burning my face for about 3 days from those tears. So that is the centeredness of your being. And so it's paying attention. And also, I should mention, is anything that is not for you, the soul will rail against it. And I'll give a quick example. A couple of years ago, I was going to buy a Subaru, and the salesperson was quite aggressive. And I was sitting at the table with him at the desk, but I had this gut feeling this was not for me. And I literally, at one point, he was being so aggressive, I said, I've got to go use the restroom for a sec. I just created that space, and I could feel my soul just twisting, leave now. I got back to the table. I said, thank you for your time. I've got to go. He ended up grabbing the manager. They literally chased me out of the dealership to try to stop me from not buying it. They wanted me to buy it. So anything that's not for you, listen to that inner guidance system, whether it's positive or negative, they serve a purpose.
That's a really important message, I think, especially mm-hmm. right now when a lot of people might be making decisions based on what they think intellectually is the right thing to do or what others think is the right thing for them to do. So thank you for that. I think that that will be well received to hear that. I have a question for you with regards to spiritual sonar. You mentioned spiritual sonar in one of your books. Can you share with the audience a little bit more about this?
Absolutely. I actually used to do this sort of intuitively when I worked as a investigator arresting shoplifters. I would sort of linger around the front of stores, and I would intuitively sort of send out waves of energy, not realizing what I was doing. And I 99.9%, I knew who was going to shoplift that day, whether it was a correctional officer or a teacher. I knew as soon as they walked into the store. So it's simply a tool we have, and it's energy based, and it's basically you're being very centered, you're being very present, and what you're doing is in your mind envisioning waves of energy leaving you, like waves you would see in the ocean, and have them go out and then see what comes back. And it's that reading of information is what I'm talking about. And your guides, whether you want to call them your spirit guides, the universe, God, source, it's all one, will speak to you. And I've done that even driving, and I know what's ahead usually. And I've had so many experiences with it. The more you sort of tune into it, because as you do that, you're stepping into consciously that quantum field. So
this comes to the end of our time for this episode. Please go to inspirehealthpodcast.com and listen to the remainder of this important episode. Thank you so much.